Good morning, everybody. Hopefully you have had an excellent show here. And this year we, on S60, we decided to go for a little bit different press panel type of thing. It's not a kind of conference. We have put specialists showing our ecosystem, how it does work, and give some views on overall key stakeholders of S60 platform ecosystem. And today our agenda is that we're going to have a quick overview on what's happening in S60, and then we are having really a panel discussion on two key topics. One would be the operator customization, which is really important and critical for our strategy, and then how we see 3G and how it's going to 3G into volumes. In each of these two subsessions in the panel, there will be questions and answers for you, and then in the end we have a common question and answer session as well, so there's plenty of room to have your questions there as well. And the panelists, who are these people here? We have as a moderator Johnny Gribbs here. He will run the panel as such, and then he is actually from Oulu. Tony has a long history also being a journalist. He's really specialized in the software space. Then we have Matti Vänskä from Nokia. Matti is vice president of Nokia Mobile Software Sales and Marketing. Then we have Dirk Pirtpiski, who is the director of terminal and portfolio and services in Vodafone. And then we have Göran Sander, who is director of business development in Synergenics. There's also Synergenics demos later on here as other demos. And then we have Frank Fink, who is senior vice president general manager in Freescale Semiconductor. Now I would like to hand over to Matti, giving a short update on what's S60.
Thank you very much, Mauri. And just with two slides, quick update on where S60 is going. I wanted to, this slide, capture the idea that platform business is really an ecosystem business. And we need to make sure that the key stakeholders, be that the licensees, be that the hardware providers, operators, developers, and of course the consumers, find the platform attractive and build business on top of the platform. So really, successful platform is something which is a successful business platform for the stakeholders. And if I just very quickly sort of go through the different corners, it's very important that the licensees can create differentiated product concepts, differentiated devices. Here you can see some of the devices targeted for the media consumption or enterprise side. Also, there needs to be devices with a broad appeal, look and feel, for the kind of industrial designs that appeal to many. And as an example of that, there is the new Samsung device that was announced actually earlier this week. What this means for the software platform is that it needs to, for example, support many of the input mechanisms, the QWERTY keyboards, scalable UIs, etc., etc. So that is a very important aspect of a successful platform. On the top right-hand corner, there's the operator collaboration. Operators are in a very, very important position in today's market in taking these services to the hands of the consumers. It's very important that terminal software platform satisfies the key requirements from the operators. And I think the key question there is, how can operators create sustainable differentiation on top of a platform while at the same time enjoying the benefits of a platform and the consistency and integrity of the platform? So that is very important. And there's been some news related to that one. And we'll elaborate that further with Dirk. I want to say that, it, of course, that dialogue is not exclusive, so we are in discussion with all the top operators on a worldwide basis to make sure that we are in line with their requirements. Platform needs to be a business platform for developers, so S60 has the native Symbian environment, it has Java, it has Flash, and some of the announcements earlier this week are related to Flash. So Forum Nokia, the largest mobile developer community, announced their Flash zone earlier this week. And now the pro developers of Forum Nokia, they are busy sort of creating applications on the third edition of S60. That transition is going very well. The last but definitely not least is the consumer appeal. So we are doing lots of research, lots of studies to make sure that we really bring delight to the consumers and bring the right simplicity, that we don't get carried away by technology, just adding features, but really making sure that the personification capabilities, etc., are available in the platform, and there are right amount of these wow effects as well. So successful platform kind of covers all the corners. We feel that S60 is doing well there, and we will go into more detail in some of these aspects later today. Market-wise, there's been lots of sources for market data. These numbers are from Canalys. It shows that S60 is very consistently on the 60% sort of market share. There's been 35 devices launched to date. And the latest one, really, the Samsung device that was launched here. We are part of the market which is growing the fastest in the industry. So our view is that the smartphone market in 2006 is roughly 100 million units. And to give you a perspective, cumulatively, Nokia by end of February will have shipped 50 million S60 based devices. So we are confident that we are part of a already big business and very, very fast growing business, and so far so good, and as long as we keep our eye on the ball, I'm confident that we continue to do well. So that's my very short introduction. Again, want to wish you welcome here and look forward to a very sort of fruitful and interesting discussions.
All right, thanks very much for that, Matty, for that introduction. What we're going to do now is go into two separate areas, as Mauri has already outlined. The first, we're going to be discussing building services on top of S60 platform, and in the second part, we're going to be discussing how we bring S60 to the mass market. To kick off, the first question to Matty. Nearly half of devices currently are sold through operator channels, and at the same time, operators are becoming more and more demanding in terms of their requirements. How can the S60 platform help manufacturers meet these requirements and getting these customized devices to market?
So I think the answer is twofold. First of all, we need to make sure that the platform, the generic platform roadmap, contains all the right enablers and the capabilities for the operator services. That's something that I was referring earlier, that we are in discussion with the leading operators, and that's something that we are doing on an ongoing basis. Of course, as we do not want to make variants of the platform itself, we only have one platform, not all the requirements can be in the platform roadmap, and therefore it's very important that we support the development of a separate software asset which resides on top of the platform, that can then close the remaining gaps when it comes to, for example, the Vodafone Live services or any of the other operator services. So it's really making sure that the platform roadmap includes the right enablers and supporting the development of this complementary software asset that we feel is the formula for a scalable and smart customization, because it's important to work hard but also work smart in a way that these software assets can be reused across many terminals, across many manufacturers.
Perhaps I can ask you there then, what actually then makes the S60 platform suit those requirements?
I think that what we have done at S60 is really we took a serious look on the capabilities that the platform needs in order to support this customization. So it has sort of some fairly basic things like the themes, like XML support, etc., but increasingly also the ability to enrich existing platform applications with the operator extensions, make sure that the application interworking is in place, and make sure that operators or their partners can really build very advanced, sophisticated applications. So customization no longer is a cosmetic thing. It's not about the colors and icons. Of course, it's that as well, but increasingly it's application development and application interworking, so that it's in line with the operator service proposition and it's delighting the consumers.
Dirk, you're here representing a not inconsiderably sized mobile operator. How do you see the S60 platform meeting your requirements?
Well, we have been engaged with the X60 team for the last couple of months in order to devise an, let's say, collaboration model and also an architectural model that suits our requirements. And of course, the challenge here is, you know, on the one hand to work with a platform, but yet at the same time, as an operator, you want to find a means how you differentiate in the marketplace, right? Which is to some extent contradicting because you cannot fragment the platform as such. So basically what you need to do is have an architectural model that allows, let's say, customization for some ingredients of the core platform, but even more so on top of the platform in terms of devising a set of applications that is unique to each individual operator, and that gets actually integrated and packaged by the Series 60 team, and that then would be available to the device makers, the licensees of S60, so that they actually don't need to hassle individually with the operator requirements, but it's done once and then deployed, you know, many times. And that is the approach we are pursuing here.
Right. Is that a rapid process? I mean, how quickly can you actually achieve these customizations?
Well, as the British say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Of course, right now, let's say all of that is agreed and discussed, and the plans are being built, and let's say we are confident that we can see still this year the first realization of the Vodafone service package on top of the Series 60 platform. So that is the timeline we are aiming at.
Oh, great, that's really encouraging news. I think over to Joran actually, game developers of course are sort of typically quite a tough customer to achieve. I mean, how are you seeing the operator customization in terms of what you do?
Well, it probably relates more to an operator than to game developer. Mm-hmm. For us, it's the most important aspect about a platform is probably around performance and stability.
Yeah, I think we're going to come back to some of these questions.
All right.
Are there any particular things about customization that are bothersome to you?
Not really, as long as we have a stable platform to work on. Maybe a consistent Java environment or a consistent Symbian or Flash environment. Mm-hmm. As long as we have compatibility across handsets and avoid some of the fragmentation we've seen in the past with Java, for example, mm-hmm. we're going to be very happy.
So this is all pretty good news to you.
This is excellent news.
Excellent. Perhaps we should move on now and ask a little bit more of Dirk, actually, regarding Vodafone's view of software platforms generally. I'd probably be useful for the audience if you could explain the benefits of open handset platforms generally, not just S60 as you've already described. And what's your strategy in terms of replacing proprietary platforms which handset manufacturers are currently already using?
But sure. Actually, we see somewhat two distinctive sets of benefits. One is around cost, and the other one is around innovation, differentiation, service penetration, and revenue. When you look at, you know, the landscape as we have it right now, then, you know, on the order of magnitude, we are dealing with somewhat like between 15 to 18 different monolithic, vertically integrated platforms. That come from all sorts of suppliers and chipset makers and so on and so forth. And that, of course, that poses a certain challenge when you try to drive a consistent implementation of services across your portfolio. And then you need to engage with different device suppliers in development programs in order to make that happen. The outcome of that process is, rather mixed. You get different levels of implementation in terms of richness or completeness. You are meant to ask to make trade-off decisions in the course of development process and so on and so forth. All of that, actually drives cost.
Yeah.
As you know, everybody needs to do their development on basis of their own, homegrown vertical monolithic platform, which are not easy to deal with because they are not meant to actually be, to be easily added applications on top of those. Secondly, then, as you're making these trade-off decisions, you're actually not getting that differentiation and innovation out to the market that you actually wanted to have, right? So therefore, we thought, well, that's not sustainable, really. And we actually believe that we want to drive the world towards a number of platforms, not to say only one. We believe, that there needs to be a healthy degree of competition in this space. And probably would also be unrealistic, really, to try to actually get the world from God knows how many platforms just to one platform.
Well, right? We've seen NTT Docomo in Japan settle on two platforms. Would you be looking at two or maybe more than that?
We think like two or three platforms is probably what is emerging, right? And I mean, we went public then this week, about the collaboration that Vodafone and S60 are having about platforms, so that actually fills up one of the slots. And I think that's within the next couple of months, you will also hear from us about what our choices are for the other two slots of platforms we are intending to work with. Apparently, when selecting a platform, you look at a number of criteria there, right? And each of them, have various scores in terms of how they fulfill the criteria. And there are criteria around maturity and market readiness, completeness, openness in some respect. Also, as an operator, whilst you want to have the openness, you likewise want to have also a certain degree of, I wouldn't say control, but the ability to innovate on the basis of that platform, right? So which requires a certain input into the roadmap process and so on and so forth. That is the aspect we looked at, and we came to the conclusion that, we want to work with Serial 60, provided, we get satisfactory outcomes on a number of those dimensions.
I assume you've had those satisfactory outcomes then.
But, as I said earlier, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Yes, we have an agreement. We are talking to potential licensees jointly together. But ultimately, you will see, are devices out in the market, yes or no? And that is what we see, towards the end of this year or early next year. That's sort of the time frame I think we are looking at.
Okay. Yeah. Seems like a good point to bring brands in here. For Freescale, and clearly you're now deeply involved in future handset projects. I mean, how important is the platformization as Freescale sees it, and what do you bring to this?
Extremely important. As you all know, despite significant investment, we all have seen a very slow adoption of mass market switching products over the last few years. Main barriers have been cost, size, power consumption, but also significant R&D spending OEMs had to put into in very, very long cycle times. So we at Freescale have been investing in a very, very innovative platform and architecture that integrates the modem subsystem with the application processor subsystem, and in doing so reducing cost over the next 18 months by more than 50%, reducing power by 40%, and in doing so addressing very, very aggressive price points for mass market products. Now, more importantly, obviously we need to address R&D spending and the cycle time to market. And there we have a very, very simple approach. We believe in an open, scalable, and flexible platform. We have freed up the application environment. That's where open OS and user interfaces come in, like Symbian GS60 and others. We are working here with carriers to address at least two or three of the platforms of choice. And in doing so, give OEMs a very stable, proven platform that allows, with lower spending, very quick time to market for mass market their products.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very interesting. The platformization, how does that affect games developers, Joran?
Affects
from a perspective.
Does it make life easier for game developers, you think?
For sure, for sure. When developing a game, we were faced with targeting quite a few different platforms. Historically, we have seen variations of S60, for example, with S60 3.0. We have very consistent environments, but also when moving to other platforms, we have some Linux products on the market, Linux being finding its way into interesting consumer electronics.
Yeah, you showed me one yesterday, Professor.
I did. You can today put Linux on even the most constrained environments, and with a surprising small amount of processing power, you can actually run full three-dimensional games. And what we today have is a near console quality gaming experience, even on mobile phones.
Actually, it's probably a good point to ask you then, what requirements do game developers really need from their mobile handset platforms in order to extract what they need from them?
Well, for games, I'm personally of the opinion that mobile games are trailing the console and PC game space by maybe 4 or 5 years. So what was done 4 or 5 years ago on the PC or PlayStation 1 is today possible at least to do on mobile phones, if you have a good environment. And looking at the PC, for example, what's the driving force has been performance. So a good mobile gaming platform should have exceptional performance and stability, of course.
And also some performance, I would guess, from the chipset, perhaps something that the fans could contribute in.
Yeah, of course, and that's where I think our innovative mobile extreme convergence architecture plays a key role. Once more, we completely separate its modem subsystem and free apps application environment. So a CMOS 90 nanometer high performance ARM core complex plus hardware accelerators, and of course a consistent software environment, which I think you are looking for, so it provides a high performance, flexible, standard, consistent software environment, but also at the price points and the power consumption required for future products.
Excellent. Well, it seems like a good point here to take any questions from the floor.
Thank you, Henning Gali, from the Handy Germany. Question to the platforms. When you look at the PCs, the MS-DOS is everywhere because it's a platform very well known. What do you think, how cheap can the S60 phone be to run stable on it, and which platform will survive in the next year?
I've got to say, I think we're going to go into that a little bit more in the next section, but if you want to...
Okay, but if there was a question already, I'd like to.
Yeah, sure.
I think, first of all, the ultimate device prices are defined by the S60 licenses, so I'm not comfortable in making any commitments on their behalf. But we are taking very decisive steps in terms of the S60 platform and the architecture we are working on, the memory consumption we are working on, the compilers we are working on, the performance, so that they have an then impact on the bill of materials, which then takes the prices lower. And of course, it's a matter of volumes as well, so the volumes take down the bill of materials, contributing to the price points. I think what is being done here with Freescale is extremely important as well. So first of all, single core architecture is a useful thing in the race for mid tier, and also the fact that we are taking away cost from the licensees when they are building phones. We are in a way building half-made phones, if you wish, so that the integration cost is reduced. And I think that it's a factor of many aspects, but these are some of the more sort of central ones. Do you want to maybe add to this? Or?
No, I think you summarized it well. I just probably might want to re-emphasize the aggressive price points with a very innovative architecture, removing the need for very costly application processors, and still in doing so with this architecture, providing a consistent software environment.
And maybe one more comment. As the smartphones are becoming more segmented, we need to create the software platform in a more modular way, so that different capabilities can be then taken or left out. And I think that the modularity works in segmentation, but the modularity also works in terms of the price point, because you can it comes to the device concepts, and you can take away certain aspects and certain capabilities, and then you reach meet their price points.
Thank you for that. And Matty, any more questions, please?
But my name is Drew from Computer for Germany. But isn't this segmentation and this modular architecture also a problem in consideration of a customer? If I see a Series 60 phone at operator one, it has got a lot of features because you have this this modular architecture, and some operators sell. Say M70 with software for PowerPoint, Word, and Excel documents to open attachments of an email. And if I go to the next operator, I get the same phone with less software. And the problem behind is this modular architecture with fragmentation.
Okay.
And what what is the
That your a great solution. Question. Yeah. Great question. I think the answer is that we should not take the modularity too far. So there are definitely common elements, common applications that should be there in all of the S60 devices to bring that commonality and that familiarity that people associate with S60. You can see the S60 logos here, and it holds a promise. We need to make sure that that promise is fulfilled, and then complemented by things like what we are doing with the operators, or what the licensees want to do on top. So I think that we need to make sure that the common part is sufficient.
Is that a question? Any of the other panelists have anything to say on?
I would agree with Marty that we need to maintain a common S60 baseline. Yeah, that there's a common feature set and functionality that also, let's say, is conveyed by, let's say, the brand as such. Yeah, the customer needs to develop and be able to have a certain trust in the brand S60 and the brand promises that is associated with that by delivering a certain degree of functionality and level of quality and experience and so on and so forth. At the same time, of course, let's say it is the nature of a platform that it is extensible, if you wish, right? So. Certain elements that might not be there at time of shipment, the customer might be free, let's say, to actually purchase them later on and install them over the air, maybe in exchange for getting a better price offering initially when buying the device. Yeah, and I can see that we actually bring about to the market these kind of segmented offerings there, and the customer then basically has a choice to get the full package right away from scratch, or actually upgrade the device later on and then get more functionality as and when it's needed and desired, right? I mean, there's a cost to the functionality, let's not forget that.
But isn't it hard to learn for a customer to get, see a comparison with
the car industry? If I buy a VW Golf at one dealer and the next one at the other dealer, all have a two or four airbags and ABS system. So of course I can get extras, but the base feature set should be the same. So otherwise it is hard to compare, and it is learned with the phone industry for the last 10 years that the phone has features, and you can have extras, but.
I think we agree with that. That's what I meant with, let's say, there needs to be a common S60 baseline, which is conveyed by the S60 brand tech and so on and so forth, right? But then there needs to be also a way where you actually package different solutions and bring them into device concepts that then allow, let's say, certain customer segments and certain customer needs to be addressed. Just like with your Volkswagen Golf, you can have different stereo and navigation type of things and so on and so forth as you wish and desire. But the Golf always has four wheels and a motor and ABS and all that kind of stuff. And so it should be this S60. But you're right. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any other questions related particularly to customization and the platform itself?
I was wondering, and this is, I think it's going to sound off topic, but I was just wondering if you guys could address Linux as a possible competitor as an OS platform. And I ask it in the customization application development section because the Linux guides talk a lot about how the platform seeking to customize and the basic developments to develop applications.
Should I go first and then you? Okay. I think all over the place there's growing interest in a Linux solution in the mobile space. Yeah. I mean, every bigger operator I know are considering this, and handset makers are considering it, and it appears to be the holy grail of what needs to be achieved, so to say, and it's the ultimate solution just to everything. There are certain challenges with that, because when you actually look at what you need to do in order to build a Linux-based phone, then Linux as such doesn't mean that much, right? It's probably, let's say, we can argue about the exact percentage figure. It's somewhere between 30 and 50% of the stuff of the software that you need to have in order to get the phone running. So in other words, there's another 50 to 70% software that needs to be assembled and put together in order to make it a workable phone. What is a Java engine, what is a browser, what is a messaging client, what is a contact list and phone book, the whole radio protocol stack and all of that, right? There is not one solution out there where you would say that you address under the headline Linux and that then constitutes that phone. So the challenge therefore is, while everybody has an interest in a Linux-based solution, that actually you're not fragmenting the Linux space, and because then that doesn't give you a platform, right? It might actually still yield you, let's say, results in terms of cost optimization for the development, but then later on I see a challenge in, let's say, providing a developer ecosystem that works homogeneously all over the place in terms of one solution developed and it works all over the devices, because you may find different APIs, because the APIs actually sit on top of Linux and some of the core applications that are in there, and that still needs to be defined and has not yet happened. Yeah. The beauty of Linux then is, of course, that nobody really owns it, but at the same time, it's a challenge of Linux, right? So it provides you the ultimate independence. Yeah, whereas, of course, Serial 60, the challenge certainly is that the Serial 60 team needs to make credible efforts to move itself away from Nokia as a device maker, yeah, so that other licensees adopt it and so on and so forth. And there's a challenge, Matti and I, we have discussed. Also, there is some nervousness there, and people would see that in Linux the promise to be there, where they have that independence and where they have the room for innovation and creativity and so on and so forth. Yeah, it is felt what is needed is an effort to, well, I don't want to say standardize, but let's say to shape how Linux in a mobile phone should work. And there are different, let's say, initiatives underway and so on and so forth, and I think we'll see more over the next coming months as to how the industry thinks they can overcome the potential of risk of fragmentation in the Linux space and drive that towards a solution that actually is homogeneous, mature and proven, and then actually available to be put into devices. Yeah. And some of the challenges that you have there also apply, that you have with S60 also apply to the Linux space. For instance, the availability of reference design, I think, will be key, so that the integration of hardware, Linux pieces of software, and so on and so forth, does not need to be done, with every device maker, but there's something that is available off the shelf, if you wish, and then building a device becomes a more straightforward and easy effort. Yeah. But in a nutshell, the interest in that kind of a solution is very high.
Okay, thanks very much for that then, Dirk.
If I just maybe add a little bit, I think that from our point of view, Linux is an interesting piece of technology or component, but it's difficult to see it as a platform for the reasons that Dirk was mentioning, and if we're looking at the capabilities that Symbian OS has and S60 platform has, those two together, it's a very sizable effort that we have made to build a platform, and really the benefits are in the platformization and in the horizontalization. So we are very confident that the software assets that we have are something which are in volumes already today, and we want to enhance those. So that's
Maybe I can make here just one point from Freescale's view point. The significance of this reference design announcement in the architecture is that, of course, we are completely committed to support Symbian 060. But through its clean architecture, we are also working with other partners on embedded Linux. And you might think about a third one that could be of interest sometime in the future. So the architecture clearly separates the software environment from the communication stack, and you can pretty much put anything you would want, and that's nice with the scalability on the application environment.
Great stuff there. Right, it seems to me it's a good point, good time to move on. Yep, to the next section. We'll come back to some more Q&A after this section, but we do really need to press on. Now what we're going to be discussing is actually 3G and the how S60 goes to mass volumes. I think the obvious place to start here is with Matty. So Matty, what's your estimation about when we'll get S60 and 3G devices to mass market?
Well, I think earlier on I mentioned that there's been, you know, by end of February, 50 million S60 devices being shipped, so one can maybe ask the question that we are in sizable volumes already, but of course we want to be even in bigger volumes, and some of the things that I explained earlier on, really some of the technical developments to enhance the performance, to have the reduction of the bill of materials, etc., etc., the taking away the cost of integration, moving to single chip architectures, those are all of the kinds of things that in 3G will take us to sizable volumes. So I think I start to repeat myself, but I think those are the key things. Of course, then operator endorsements and new launches from all the licensees, very important.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else have anything to add to that?
Well, just to be clear, at Vodafone, we want to drive the world into a platform world, right? As I said earlier on, we have this highly fragmented space right now that is prohibiting innovation and so on and so forth. What that means is that when we look at our 3G device portfolio, we would hope, well, not hope, actually, we're striving for within 2 years from now, that the majority of that portfolio is a platform-powered portfolio, right? And we are quite confident when we do our analysis that that is something that is possible. If you want, you know, currently, in terms of when you look at a device bill of materials, all other things being equal, and there are other big cost drivers in a device, regardless whether it's a platform or not, like, you know, the display, for instance, or you know, the whole radio section and so on and so forth. But all other things being equal, probably the surcharge that we see currently in 2006 for a platform-powered phone to a vertically integrated phone is in the order of magnitude of, let's say, 15 to 20 euros, right? That's today. And I think the initiative we are jointly doing here with CL60, Symbian and Freescale is pointing into the right direction to actually get that cost markup, if you want, you know, increasingly become smaller, and then in a year or two time, actually, a platform powered device, you know, should not cost more than an equivalent vertically integrated device. All other things being equal, let's say, right? So the same kind of camera and display, radio and whatever else that drives the cost of a phone, right? So there should not be a cost penalty. That is a key assumption. Mm-hmm. That, of course, requires the availability of cost-effective reference designs, and of course, let's say it requires that platform providers actually, let's say, do their bit in terms of incentivizing, whatever that means, you know, affordable pricing and licensing policies, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, for device makers to adopt platforms and in a big way, yeah. So for us, platforms and platform-powered devices, you know, is something we want to put into the entire portfolio. We want to get this out of the corner of it being something special there for specialists that want to do very special things with their phones, right? And that is like 5% or so of the customers. Yeah, we want to make that mass market.
Yeah, that all sounds like very good news.
If I just may add, I think this is very much, I agree with everything that Dirk is just said, but just want to add that also it's in the interest of the licensees, the 60 licensees, so that if we can do leverage the platform, do the customization more smartly, then that also frees up their resources to the more innovative product concepts and bringing up consumer delight. So I think it's really a win-win-win, and therefore something that we're also very excited about.
Okay. Joran, please.
Just to comment on this expansion of platforms into more mass market devices from an application developer's point of view. For the past years, S60 or C60 has been a rather uniform platform. So for games, we have the same display size, for example, to deal with. Now we're moving towards new devices with higher resolution displays, but then also maybe towards more mid-tier handsets with slightly less processing power and so on. So for us, it's actually a big challenge. As an application developer, we have to target not only a single uniform environment, but a wider range of products with associated challenges, meaning new tools needed and so on.
How does that relate to, though, the fragmentation in the Java world? I mean, is it a better situation that you face going forward, would you say, despite the complications?
Certainly, if you're looking at S60 and such, it's still a uniform native execution environment. Native being a key word here. If we believe that the mobile space is going to follow the PC and console, native gaming is the way to go. Java will be around for sure, but for those high-end games, for the games for the kids that grew up today with the Xbox 360 and so on, they will want something more than a casual Java puzzle.
That's quite a controversial comment. What does anyone else have to add to that? Native gaming, the importance of on mobile phones as opposed to Java?
Well, I mean, we have quite a sizable download business and games business on the top of Java. We have been struggling, though, you know, again, with consistency of implementation and quality issues and so on and so forth, particularly when you look at the kind of dynamic behavior in the real execution environment when games get executed and other stuff is happening in that phone. Yeah, calls come in and messages are being received or sent in the background and so on and so forth. And the dynamic behavior at times that's quite a different thing than a static behavior of what you intend, you know, a game to like to be. I guess, let's say, directionally, native code, you know, can bring performance improvements quite significantly. And if that, let's say, is something that the customer is asking for, then let's do that. Yeah. As long as, let's say, you know, we have a secure execution environment, I should say. Yeah. It's probably not, let's say, an either or question. This is an and question. Yeah, you do both.
Okay.
To build on that one, for S60, it's very important that there are various runtimes being supported, so be that Java, Flash, or the native, etc. So we want to make sure that the developers can build a sustainable business on top of the platform with the various runtimes.
Right, I'll probably bring things back a little into the chipset world and to ask Franz a bit more about Freescale and timescales for how you see it getting your reference platform into mass market handsets and also what it's done in bringing down time to market for handset manufacturers.
Yeah, so obviously this partnership is pretty much focused on providing complete reference design. Once more, I would like to re-emphasize its flexibility. It allows innovation, anything from HSDPA, HSUPA in a multi-call environment, but it also addresses for feature phone mass market price points. It will reduce bill of material 50% over the next 18 months. That, I think, leads me to talk about time frame. We are here in the project progressing very well. We are looking for ship acceptance of products in the first half of 07, let's say Q2 07. And again, as already pointed out, it's supporting an environment where then from a cycle time standpoint, as we are going through a complete reference design and with carrier IoT testing, that we believe OEMs can build a product dependent of course on the feature set in anywhere 6 to 9 months after having the reference design available by end of this year. So we are looking at a reduction of cycle time of more than 50% to get to the end product.
That's pretty impressive. And how does Nokia's relationship with Freescale help bring down the total bill of materials related to S60 devices as well? To kind of get really as close to where we are with today's feature phones based on closed platforms?
I think that it's a single core architecture.
Yeah, maybe first I answer that question. Let me once more here summarize. Through the separation of the communication stack in a very efficient modem subsystem, we have an integrated application processor, so there's no need, first of all, for a standalone application processor. So Symbian 060 runs on a very tightly integrated, cost-efficient device. So that's one significant reduction. Then, of course, through miniaturization on the RF subsystem and the integration I just talked about, again, the bill of materials of 3G phones will come down by more than 50% in the next 18 months. Very significant reduction.
Okay, yes.
Now, of course, I would challenge here Symbian in Series 60. If you want to go to low-cost 3G phones and low-cost 3G feature phones, that they might have to compete with some other environments we are working on. But I think this competition and competitive environment is good for OEMs and for the adoption of mass market products.
Competition and choice, that's very important in all the layers of the stack, and this is we are bringing out a solution to the market that should make it easier for the licensees to create devices. The idea really is to work hard but also to work smart and do certain things once and make them available for the ecosystem. That's the idea. And Freescale has a very aggressive roadmap. They have the market share, they have the capability to work with the first tier manufacturers, so we are very happy with the constellation that we're having here.
A question I sometimes ask about this is S60, is there any reason why Nokia would ever put together, say, a closed version in which you wouldn't install native applications, where you would use Java for the application environment, as a way of bringing down the bill of materials even further? Is that something that would work?
I don't know. I think S60 is associated with the extensibility and ability to sort of add new things, and also I think that's very important for the consumers. That's a value that we have. We think that of course we need to also, when developing S60, we, as I said earlier, we should not get carried away with all the features. Simplicity and ease of use is a very, very important thing for us, and I think it also helps us to go to the mid-tier in terms of price points, in terms of the new consumer segments, etc. So I think that would be my approach.
Okay, anyone else anything to add to that? Otherwise, a couple of more general questions that I've got really open to everyone. What do we all see as the major challenges surrounding mobile handsets, the manufacturers, software developers and operators today? What are the biggest issues that you're all having to deal with? Apart from all having to learn how to work with each other, I guess.
Well, I certainly would say that I think you heard it already here in the debate earlier. Ever becoming more complex devices, and you need to address multiple tiers. So it's all a question of the ecosystem, but also a consistent environment that allows, with reasonable R&D spending, provide compelling products. So working with the right partners and really have the scalability of the complete ecosystem from mass market to continue to innovate. Of course, that's what we're trying to address here, but I think it remains a significant challenge and a commitment from all partners to really make that happen.
Okay? Yeah, sure. Joran?
I would probably mention quality of tools, quality of SDKs, completeness of SDK,
Is that something you have at the moment, or is there more that Nokia and others could be doing?
Could. From a game development point of view, we have quite specific requirements and wishes, so more could probably be done, yes. But then the general quality of such products has to be very high, so we can rely on them for creating these applications.
Well, that's fairly good news. Matty?
Just about the challenges. I think the technologies are becoming extremely rich and extremely complex, and I think that the opportunity for value add is really to take away some of that complexity, and I think the platforms and horizontalization, that's the way to go, and that needs to be done in various levels of the stack. We are cooperating with Freescale, we are Symbian, very key partner here. We are working with operators such as Vodafone, so just working together. It's an ecosystem play at the end of the day, and I think that's the key challenge, but also that's the biggest opportunity to add value.
Well, I think one dimension that I would add to that, and you know, we talk a lot about the industry and ourselves and all of that, let's not forget the customer, right? And I think customers are increasingly, let's say, struggling with the complexity that they see in devices, you know, how they operate that. So I think, let's say, you know, there's a great deal that can be done about, let's say, having a very, you know, intuitive, ease of use, you know, good user experience that points, let's say, the relevant services to the customers without much, let's say, you know, learning how to operate that phone. I mean, people are scared of their PCs they have at home already, right? Don't bring that into the mobile space, yeah? And I would add to that, in that sense, let's say, there's quite some homework to be done. When I mean user experience, I just don't mean, let's say, menus and how they are structured and all that kind of stuff. I'm really talking about, let's say, a quality and performance tool, yeah? It is, for instance, let's say if you look at the homepage loading time, even on a 3G network, is rarely below 10 seconds. Yeah, I mean, count 10 seconds, and you know how long that is. Yeah, so I think, let's say, as an industry, and that is, you know, the device, the network, the content, and the server, and the network, and all of that. Yeah, we need to make quite a strong effort that becomes a much better experience than it is today. Yeah. And there's lots actually of that is enabled by platform powered devices, yeah. Because you can think of, let's say, for the different services that you bring about to the market, that you then have the flexibility to actually, by means of certain clients that you put on top of those platforms, to provide a more relevant and more intuitive user experience to use those services than they would otherwise be available in the generic platform as such. And that is certainly, let's say, an opportunity that we see. We have developed a couple of those clients already as Vodafone that we brought to the market and that are, let's say, available with Series 60 phones. And we are intending to actually do more about that. And then also, let's say, integrate that into an overall phone user experience that is intuitive and easy to use. Because, you know, at the end of the day, to be quite honest, as Vodafone, we don't live from selling devices, we live from selling, you know, services and people using them and you know, seeing a value in that and therefore giving us their money.
Mm-hmm. I think there's probably a whole much bigger debate to be had about how you improve the quality of the user experience. But chance now for some more questions from the floor.
When I buy a 60 phone at operator number one, it comes normally with a logo of the operator and has some special operator-specific functions. Now I change to operator number two, and I find out that it's not possible. What say the regulations of S60 to the topic branding?
To the topic branding. I think that the branding is something where, first of all, ultimately, it's a discussion between the operator and then the licensees. But I think there is sufficient support for extensive branding,
according to the operator service proposition, and I think that's very important. That's increasing the innovation, and that's good for the industry. And then I would come back to the topic of saying that there needs to be commonality across S60 devices, and I think that we've had a very, very good dialogue with Vodafone. We both realized that there needs to be the Vodafone experience, there needs to be the Vodafone enrichment and all of that, and you know, also the other way around, there's an agreement that there needs to be the commonality and there needs to be the capabilities that all S60 devices have, regardless of which operator is deploying the platform. So it's finding the sound balance between the two. I think it's a very pragmatic discussion, and I'm very pleased with how it has gone between our two companies. But of course, ultimately, the decision is between the licensees and the operator.
How will Vodafone react to that?
Well, that's a much, you know, heated debate around, you know, operators actually being intrusive and mandating, you know, certain brandings and so on and so forth. When we originally, let's say, conceived the concept of branding, yes, of course, let's say there was an interest to, let's say, have the Vodafone brand, for instance, let's say, become visual, because otherwise it's not visual, right? It's hard to touch airwaves, you know, that go back and forth. And I think, let's say, you know, from our perspective, we'll say, well, that makes sense somehow, okay? We also thought, look, we wanted, and, you know, people from Nokia may or may not like that, but there's certainly a degree of stickiness of a customer to a certain menu type and menu user experience, right? So we then said, well, look, we want to make that not a stickiness to the handset maker, but to the operator, right? And therefore provide a consistent set of, for instance, visual icons and menu flows across a range of devices that we have, which actually isn't a benefit for the customer, because it gives the customer the option actually to switch from manufacturer A to B without having to learn a new structure of menus and getting confused about different looks of icons in menus that guides them and all of that kind of stuff, right? And there's quite many customers who actually do appreciate that. I think where it went wrong was that people perceived that to be you know, too intrusive in this space, and you know, when we took, you know, originally we had not provided for the option for people to change that. In our requirements for more than 12 months now, it is required that actually the cut for the device makers that there is a functionality that customers can actually change, for instance, the branding in terms of the theme, yeah. And I tell you, 90% actually, you know, leave it as it is, and 10% change it, and that's okay. Yeah. The same is true for things like the right soft key that, you know, with the push of a button puts you to the portal page. Yeah, which people think, well, that actually they're getting charged for that. This is mostly not true, because in most of our networks, the portal access is now included in the basic fee that you have, and only when you actually buy content and so on and so forth, there are special charges, but not for the actual initial GPRS connection or CG connection, whatever you have, to see the portal homepage. Yeah? But also here, we are relaxing that requirement. If a customer wishes to put something else on that short key, well, then he or she can do that. Yeah? And there's lots of good stuff. You know, if you think about, let's say, 4 or 5 years ago, we used to ship devices that weren't configured at all. Yeah, and then the customers first time wanted to do a browsing session, they were confronted with funny questions about their APN settings and WAP proxy gateway IP address and things like that, right? And I mean, let's not forget that we actually, you know, that kind of out-of-the-box zero hassle experience is part of the pre-configuration, yeah? And let's also not forget, let's say, you know, we are buying at Vodafone for 7 billion euros every year phones, right? And we are almost making no money off that, yeah? So the biggest part of that is then spent into device subsidies, right? And it's not accidental that then a device that is available for 1 euro, so I believe, let's say, yes, we have a certain right actually to brand those devices, and every customer is free to buy an unbranded one, you know, without that subsidy. Yeah.
I do get the impression, though, that perhaps the relationship between handset manufacturers and mobile operators has softened a little bit, that your meeting of minds better in the middle now.
Absolutely. I mean, initially, what you could also ask our colleagues at Nokia, we had quite some interesting debate, but I think that now the industry is sort of grown up about it. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, is it my customer or your customer? There is a joint customer relationship, if you wish. Yeah, there is a device maker customer relationship, and there is an operator customer relationship, and that can, let's say, frankly coexist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so actually, it's not an issue as it was originally 2 or 3 years ago.
No, that's great to hear, Matty. I'm sure you've got something to say about that.
I just say that, you know, in hindsight, maybe it was a bit of a religious discussion, and today we have a pragmatic dialogue, and that's a good situation.
Probably time for one or two more questions.
May I ask you one question to your statement concerning the 7 billion? Is it for Germany, for Europe, or what?
No, that's worldwide.
That's worldwide. You're spending per year 7 billion for phones?
Between 6 and 7 billion.
Okay. And then I would like to come back to the Linux discussion earlier. So far, the C60 we know as a software platform on top of Symbian. Is it somehow imaginable that in a couple of years we can see Series 60 on top of Linux?
We have excellent platform on top of excellent OS, and it's working well, and it's providing all the platform capabilities. So at the moment, we see no reason to change the working concept.
What's the answer? Is it possible? Or?
Yeah, and maybe something which is very often associated with Linux actually is this whole idea of open source software development. In Nokia Mobility Conference end of last year, we announced our new browser, which was built that way. So I think that, you know, that's a way to extend our R&D. That's a way to create a very competitive browser, for example, leveraging the larger community. So those are the kinds of means that we can leverage similar types of things to a very, very beneficial way. So I think that there are, these are not binary things. I think Franz has something.
Yeah, maybe
I have one comment to it. Of course, we have talked about embedded Linux and its fragmentation, its need for a common standard unified environment. So from my viewpoint, it would be nice to have something on top that is standardized, no matter what it is, okay? And there's a few environments out there who probably could drive such standardization.
There's quite a lot of food for thought there. I think there was one more question from over here.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a little bit about the S60 rebranding. I know it says it's open to new features, and this was part of the strategy to get consumers aware that you could add software to S60 after the purchase point. And I was wondering whether the panel had any views on what more could be done there, because I believe the figures are something like that a very small percentage of S60 users are actually adding software, and it's perhaps one of the best features of the platform, and what more could be done as you're driving to high number of devices to encourage that kind of thing. And I guess that's an obvious question for all of them, but particularly, what would the application developers like to see? What does Nokia think they should be doing? What do the operators think they can do to encourage their users to do that sort of thing?
If I may start. First of all, we are doing extensive studies on the use of S60 devices. We have a so-called 360 client that we sometimes put on the client with the people that we agree, of course, you know, this is not done sort of in no secret way, but you know, that gives us insight in terms of how the devices are used and how we can improve the devices. I think that the download figures are quite encouraging. I don't remember, in the US there was the latest figures. Mauri, can you help me a bit? What was the amount of applications downloaded? Was it 2, 3 or 4 per month?
Yeah, so we have done, you have in a folder, you have a quick overview on these studies, and those studies are run throughout the world. We are actually starting one in China here we have had in US, in UK, in Germany, and in Asia. And the study shows that 65% of the users have installed third-party applications. And from the usage of those applications, in US, already every fifth launch of application in the device is third-party application. In Europe, it's 12%. So it's what people have downloaded or installed, they really use those applications. And then there has been the amount of how many applications those users are downloading. It's 3 to 4 applications per month. And the study shows that that's high figure. But a lot of that stuff is freeware. People are testing. When they have gone over the first barrier to install the first one, then they are quite keen to continue with that. And we have a lot of initiatives now to boost this application downloading and extensibility experience. We are pushing this catalogs client, purchasing client to the devices. Nokia N70 is the first one to have that. We have a good collaboration with the operators, having similar kind of Vodafone Live purchasing clients and so on. So make it easy for the people to download and find those applications. Then we just last week we announced and launched the special logo for the developers so that they can show a 60 signature sign in their application marketing, so that people would recognize that okay, this is a 60 application and so forth. So I think we have a lot of good signs that this will go forward.
Yes, please do. Just quick to add to that. Of course, it is key that there is, let's say, you know, content and applications available in an easy and intuitive way for customers to identify those and then actually to download those, purchase those, install them, and so on and so forth. And it is part of our plans within this initiative here that we will substantially broaden our engagement there for customers to have a place that they can go to and get all those things, and then also providing for the developers a place at Vodafone where they can come to and suggest their applications to us, and where they then actually can have a shop space, if you wish, where those can be found. I think another interesting concept I want you to make aware of that we are considering is well, if customers don't come to your content and applications, then you know the content and applications come to the customer. Yeah, which is the whole notion of, let's say, proactively pushing, if not the entire content piece or application, but pieces or parts of it, to a customer's phone, to the menu, which is actually the place where the customer usually goes to day in, day out. Yeah. Those concepts, let's say, you know, whatever the names are, you know, shop concept in a phone or dynamic content discovery or dynamic menu and so on and so forth, there are a couple of people out there that actually develop these kind of technologies, and we are also strongly considering to do something like that, right? So to make an example there, as we talked about gaming earlier on, for a customer that would go into the game type of menu tree of the phone, you could envision that, let's say, when there are 3 new games or so available, that there would be, via whatever proactive means over the air, a content teaser for that, a notification of the availability of that. Maybe even there is a first level already, you know, free to play, and when a customer then, you know, gets into it and wants more of that, downloads the entire game and purchases it, right? So it's not, you know, operators waiting there for customers necessarily to take that initiative, but we likewise need to take initiative on our side and get them more into that by marketing, but also by pieces of technology like that, where you push proactively relevant content in a non-intrusive way again. Yeah, it's not meant to be like flooding the device with advertising, yeah, because nobody wants it, and that would, you know, turn them rather off. But in a non-intrusive way, which is relevant, and their customers would see value, I think, you know, that's offering quite a good potential.
That's really interesting, and certainly something I'd probably like to speak to you about myself. I think Joram clearly has something to add here. I mean, what in addition to what's already been done, can help, do you think, drive adoption of new applications, and particularly games in your case? What do you feel that the community should be doing?
A large responsibility is certainly the operator, I would say. and it's probably about positioning yourselves and operator as a more of a media company than just a data pipe. Historically, we've been moving voice calls and maybe GPRS, but make people understand that you can actually buy games and entertainment and content from mobile phones. And also ease of use. We have seen, we have cases where we in 7 hours have sold more games than we usually do in a month, simply because there's a one-click buy. The user was presented with an option, here's this great game, do you want to buy it, click here. And the uptake is phenomenal. And also on S60, we have seen now for years, it's a common idea that there's no money to be made in S60 applications. And it's not quite true. I mean, there are companies making very big money on S60 applications, games in our case. There are operators making significant revenue on this. We have seen with, for example, with Hutchison 3 in UK, that advanced single applications for S60, within months after launching, contributed to the annual revenue in a sense, so that it's a significant portion. It's even passing Java games in some cases in terms of revenue. So S60 games are certainly a major revenue source already today.
Right, great. Franz, I don't know if there's anything you want to add. It's a bit further away from your area generally. Matty, any sort of final comments? I think we're probably in close to time there.
Okay. Well.
Oh, if there are any more questions, apparently we do have a bit longer.
Anyway, as we're waiting for the questions, just want to do the quick commercial break. So here I have the Sense 600. The Samsung device that was launched earlier this week. A very, very impressive device. So if you want to have a hands-on experience, you know, we have one sample here.
With some sort of neat UI features, I think, as well.
I think that this is some very nice wow effects. And I think that all in all, the design is something which is,
okay,
I personally find very appealing.
Are there any more questions out there?
No.
Well, in that case, it's probably a good place to stop and hand back to Mary now, and thank you all the panelists there from me. Mary?
Thank you, Tony. Excellent moderating. Very much thanks also to the panelists, and hopefully you found it very interesting and informative. We have here a couple of people also from our platform. So there's Markus Suomi on there. Markus is actually vice president and heading the S60 product unit. And then we have here Simon Goth from Symbian as well. We have Brad Brockhaug from Ford Nokia as well. So if you have now or later any questions related to these guys, we are happy to answer. Any kind of questions on platform, Symbian or anything else on Ford Nokia? No? I would like to remind on a couple of demos we are having here. So there is Synogenics demo here, and then we have Yahoo demo here as well, and then this Wycombe demo here as well. And I would like to welcome you also to Nokia stand in Hall 1. So there's a lot of platform story, new devices there, the Samsung device is also there. And then we have the Forum Nokia stand just beside ours. So there's a lot of application demos there as well. I would like to thank you a lot, and free discussions, have an early lunch, if you will, and have an great experience today. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Good stuff.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you as a journalist. I would have got quite a lot.